ESPN 93.5, sunny 95.3.
Mondays and Fridays, we are graced with intelligence and wit and wisdom. Live in New Orleans, brother Johnny. Johnny!
Morning, CJ.
Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, all-around great guy, Chicago, Illinois. Coach, how are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're great. All right. We begin with Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman. The verdict comes down on Saturday night, Johnny. Protests ensue. George Zimmerman's a free man. Hey, found him not guilty.
Well, it was an interesting trial. A lot of to-do over it, and I think it was the right verdict, and I think it's... So far, I don't believe we've had a whole lot of issues that I've heard, Steve, as far as the population being mobilized or whatever. There's been a lot of comments from both sides. But.
Well, the population won't get mobilized. It's individuals who, there are certain people out there who do this for a living. That's what they do. They antagonize. They bring about this stuff. And everything is denial, and it's against... There couldn't have been a winner in this thing anyways. I mean, I think they got it right. But then how do I know? I wasn't there. You weren't there. Nobody was there. But, it's going to be tough on this kid for the rest of his life. And then you got a kid that doesn't have his life anymore. So, I mean, I don't know how you get around this thing.
Well, what was kind of on trial was the concealed weapon, which, by the way, I think Illinois might have passed concealed weapon, the last state in the union to do it.
Yeah.
And then neighborhood watch stuff. Do you want anyone to be allowed to do that, I think? Because if you do, you're probably going to get incidents. I don't think it'll be turning to a racial thing like this one was. But I do.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, I don't think it comes down to profiling or anything, but when you see somebody who looks suspicious and that's your job and responsibility, aren't you supposed to check it out?
Right,
I don't know. I don't know what this is all about, but I think that's what a neighborhood watch guy would do if there was a suspicious character there, whether he was white, black, pink, purple, I don't care. You would check it out.
And then that always opens the door to something escalating, and
yeah,
I think that's really what this was about, anything
else. But everybody tried to play the race card. That was the worst part. I mean, you don't want to do that in a thing like this. The kid lost his life, and it's just not, you just don't do that.
All right, so the NAACP is wanting the president to say, hey, we want some racial profiling charges here. But, Mike, the DOJ has already looked into this. They did 35 interviews, 200 hours of interviews. They did not find anything that would say George Zimmerman's a racist, so I don't know where they go from here.
Well, they don't go anywhere, but that's what they're going to do. And this president, who knows, he's allowed to do it, too. I mean, my God.
But, I think he might let this one go. But
you would hope you would, but it's kind of crazy. I mean, come on, if this country is about, you establish the law and then the law is executed. Now, if it would have went the other way, none of this would be going on because it didn't go the way they wanted it to go. Now you're going to have this defamation suits and all this and all that, calling on the president who's really. I really don't get it. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, there is actually a rational basis for that kind of approach to something like this, and that is just the black leadership since civil rights, they realize if they don't really stick together as a group, they can't really wield much influence, which is true. But to do that, to stick together as a racial group, you almost have to be racist. And I think it's got to a point where we need to move past that and vote, like we theoretically should vote as individuals. But the black community, Steve, wields tremendous influence. You know, the population of blacks in America is 12.2%. So they've done extremely well in terms of representation, but I don't think the policy the black leadership has come up with through the years has been good. And now you've got a situation where many people feel just as trapped as ever. And in situations like where in Chicago we had how many shootings over the 4th of July?
Incredible, guys. It's pretty incredible.
So that political motive, I think we need to move past it. And yet even in the latest election, that 95%, 98% of areas of the country that voted for Obama was a big impact on who won the election.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
So that's the motive there that isn't crazy or radical. It's just politics. And yeah. so that's unfortunate, but that's one of the realities we live with.
And I think Mike is right. When you're talking about, you know, fires and cars getting overturned in San Francisco after this George Zimmerman verdict came down Saturday night, they're anarchists that are looking for any reason to turn
Absolutely.
Any car over and just start a fire.
Absolutely. I don't know that they believe in the cause any more than, but they certainly believe in the action. That's what I'm trying to say. They do this all the time, and this is what they're all about. This is their destiny. Listen, we went through this growing up with the protesters. Come on, the sit-ins. Some of these people were paid to do it. Some of them, they just do it because they knew it was controversial.
Well, I think even further, they probably are hoping for a not guilty verdict so they can launch an attack.
No, that's right. I think that's right. It's Brother Johnny Mike Ditka. It's ESPN 93.5. And the new Sunday 95.3, 743 in Champaign-Urbana. I'm looking at Lake Michigan, Johnny, up here for a few days with the family. It's just gorgeous
well,
up here.
Great,
it's
80.
Yeah, it's going to be beautiful up here for the next few days. All right, All-Star break time. Johnny, the Cardinals have the best record in baseball.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a great organization. We always talk about them, and I'm a fan, Steve. Of course, we're kind of traditional Cubs fans, but it's great to have the Cards. It's great to have the Cardinals nation kind of behind you. Now, I'm not going to take a lot of credit, but I do follow them. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mike, the Cubs are playing better.
Well, they are. I mean, come on, listen. You can't go any lower. You got to go up. they are. They are playing better. They're getting a little better in a couple of areas. If they ever learn to put the pitching and the hitting together at the same time, they could be a pretty good team. I mean, but still, again, when you look at the Cardinals, the thing about the Cardinals, the whole organization has gone through a transition, and it's all been very successful. I mean, look at the players they have now compared to the players they had four or five years ago, and there's quite a bit of difference. But the talent is terrific in what they're doing, watching them play. I mean, I had to have a scorecard to look at some of those guys, but I know who Freeze and these guys are now. But I'm just saying it's pretty interesting that they've made a great transition in talent, and still they got talent out there that they can have the best record in baseball.
That's just good management with a system that works and being able to sustain it.
And
that is something that's very difficult to do.
Yeah, and Mike, you know about this. When you got to the Bears, they weren't winners. I mean, there's something about expectation. The Cardinals in the seventh, they didn't expect a rally. The Cub fans are in the stands in Wrigley expecting the Cubs to blow something. And there's just that aura, and I don't know how you get over the hump.
Well, you're not going to get over till you believe. I mean, nothing happens till you believe that you can make it happen, and you're good enough to make it happen. You have a right to be the best. You have a right to be number one, and that's what happened with us. I mean, none of that. That had to be ingrained in a lot of guys to say, hey, listen, here's where we're at. And I talked to Coach Trestman the other day, and I liked his analogy. Here's where we're at. Here's where we want to go. Now, how do we do this from get from point A to point C? What do we want to do? Sit back and wish, hope, pray? It's not going to work that way. You're going to practice hard. You're going to discipline yourself. You're going to get better in the areas that you're weak in. And and basically, you set goals for your organization, for your team, for your players, for your positions. And that's the way you build it. And I learned that under Coach Landry. It's not by accident. You get better for reason. Same reason the Saints got better. They got the right people in the right places and did the right thing. And, that's the way it happens.
Well, that's a good one.
Johnny, what about our Saints, Johnny? I mean, we got the preseason beginning. We got the New Orleans. I think the Bears, with Cutler in a big year for him with his career, Mike, the Bears, I would think, are going to be pretty good. I think everybody's kind of watching the new coaches you mentioned. But, Johnny, I'm a Saints fan, too, as you know.
Well, we got Sean Payton back. He was out for a year, and he's now the highest-paid coach in football. We've got Drew Brees, and we've got Rob Ryan. So the Rex Ryan's brother with the long hair, we've seen him on the sideline, and he's our defensive coordinator. So people are optimistic, but you don't know. We're kind of starting a new era, and we'll see how everything goes. But we got a lot of talent, Mike, on that Saints team.
There's no question about it. They'll be right in the mix. There's no question. Same with the Bears. I mean, I learned one thing a long time ago. Good players make good coaches. Great players make great coaches. Yeah. You can say, well, the coach has a lot to do with it. Yes, he does. There's no question about it. Because, you know, it's like the CEO or the commander-in-chief or the general. You have to have somebody at the top who makes the calls, and the calls have to be carried out. But the better personnel, you as a football organization or any sports organization, you better have good people in your personnel department in the areas that count like that. Because if you can't get people that you can develop into winning or leaders, you got problems.
Well, and I think that's it, though. A good leader, a good coach or leader can develop those people. They can bring the best out of them. And that's what I think.
I talked to some people yesterday. Listen, you can inspire and you can make people perspire, but you can't motivate them. They can motivate themselves. I can tell them what has to be done and why and where and how and when, and they don't want to do it, they won't. But I can also tell somebody what has to be done without telling them anything else, and they'll find a way to do it. I didn't motivate them. They motivated themselves.
Well, but
themselves.
You can pick out the guys who are self-motivated or who have that motivation and develop them. And that's what makes a great team.
That's your leadership basis. That's where you get your core leadership from those people.
Now, wait a minute. I'm trying to figure if this all makes sense to me, Johnny, because you remember the first time we played golf with Coach how awful I was, and then the second time you said, who wants Steve? Mike says, I do. I was jacked and motivated. We won all the holes, Coach, because you believed in me.
Yeah, we won
you're
all
motivated.
The holes because of you. You played good.
you're as motivated a golfer as I know. You're just not that great.
I'm motivated at golf.
Hey, I asked Johnny 5 years ago. I said, you want to sponsor me on the Champions Tour, Mike? He says, let me get back to you. I haven't heard a thing.
He puts you on NASCAR.
It's Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunny 95.3, the John Deere, a 19-year-old kid, Jordan Spieth wins. How good is that kid?
Well, you know, it was such a great thing. You know, if you had to watch the whole thing, because if you look at the hole that changed everything was when he hit the birdie out of the trap.
Yeah.
Was it 17? I don't know what it was. Anyway,
18.
It was 18.
Everybody else bogeyed it. So that was the whole switch that got him into the thing and brought everybody back to him. It put him at 19 with the birdie, put everybody was at 20 back to 19 with the bogey. So you know, it went from there, and then coming down, you know, there's a couple of them that had a chance to win it. The putt didn't go in the hole. I was really happy. A 19-year-old kid, this kid is, I hope this is an omen for him and his career. I just hope, he looks like a guy that didn't get very flustered out there. He
had
cool for 19.
He had a 6-foot putt to stay in it, Mike.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I'll tell you what, that was when I think I'm...
I sit there and watch it. I really enjoyed that. That might have been something I enjoyed on TV as much as anything in the last 5 years. I watched that whole 8-5 whole playoff, and it was good.
It's been 1931 since a teenager won on the PGA.
That's 82 years of you kidding me, and again... Yeah. I'm so glad I have DVR. Of course, I didn't record enough, so I always miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's frustrating when you have that happen. All right, so you got Murfield, British Open week. Have you ever played Murfield, Mike?
I have. I played so many over there. I can't remember all of them, but I did play Murfield. Yes, I have. Guys, I'm going to tell you now, if you watched any of the Scottish Open, which Mickelson won, there's not much different. It depends a lot on how high the heather is or the gorse or whatever you want to call it. But they're wide open, and, I mean, you can almost putt the ball from anybody. Everything is a tight lie. It's like hitting off of a tabletop at times. So, you know, you have to know how to pick the ball cleanly. And you're going to see a lot of bump and runs. You're not going to see a lot of guys that throw the ball at the pin and stop it. It's a whole different game. I mean,
and then they have these big
It's great. It's a different shot making.
Do they have big shared greens in a lot of those courses?
Yeah, they have big greens that look they're very undulating, and also Now, the bunkers are the difference, because the bunkers are they're flat face walls, and if you get it near the face of the bunker, you cannot do anything but try to get the ball out sideways or backwards. I mean, you just can't get it. You can't hit it toward the pin if you get it right up against the front of the bunker. There's no way.
Well, Stevie, you were in some of those bunkers.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in there one time, guys, and I just for fun wanted to see if I get seven shots later. I said, okay, I get it backwards. You can't do it, and you can't get mad at it either. But it isn't a unique style of game. Lynx game, I think, is mentally, I think, more challenging than our game here. I think it's a tough game to play, but can Tiger win? Can he get another major out of this?
Well, I think Tiger's proved that he can win on those kind of golf courses. I think anybody that understands it. But it changes your mental set. Now, I don't care who you are, how good you are. You're a professional golfer. You're thinking about, I'm going to hit this golf ball. I'm going to take a divot. It's going to go in the air. It's going to hit. It's going to spin and stop. Uh-uh. That ain't the same game. It's not the game they're going to play. I'm just telling you. So, you know, so that mentality, you can't go in there thinking, well, and these guys are all pros. They know that. There's no question about that. They'll be fine. But, you know, they got a bump and run game. They understand they got to keep the ball low if the wind's blowing, things like that.
Doesn't the wind blow a lot?
It blows a lot.
Yeah. It does, and it sideways, up and down. It's pretty crazy.
You could get some of the nicest weather. I've had good weather over there where it was really nice, but again, usually it's windy, it's cool, you know. So, anyway, as tight as the golf courses are, I say, as tight as the fairways are, that if you get into some of that rough, it's almost impossible. So,
we're gonna leave it there. But we will call you Friday. This will be time for the British Open, and it's so fun because it starts so early, and it'll be fun to talk about.
Actually,
all right, guys, take care. I'll see you Monday.
All right, see you
Monday. I'll see you Friday.
Hey, won't the golf tournament be going on during the show?
Yeah, yep, during this, yep. We'll be watching it.
All right,
guys,
DJ,
thank you.
Okay, take care. God bless.
Yep, I'll be in touch, Johnny. Thanks, Coach. It's Brother Johnny Mike Ditka, ESPN 93.5, the new Sunday 95.3. We'll be